Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Abby, we have a great show lined up today, but this is the first time you and I have done the podcast together.
I know. I'm excited. Cool. I'm getting to, I just did it with my dad,
yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
for the first time, and yeah. now I get to do it with you, so I feel like I'm getting to get in with the OGs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've been doing this for a while, but you, I mean, having, you know, a younger group of advisors coming through has been fantastic. We, are so blessed to have you guys here, and you know, you do a great job. So this is a benefit for our business. So thank you for doing that.
And been great.
We got a good time of the year. We got vacations, right? You just took a little short stint up to North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah. I went up to Brevard for my birthday for a couple of days
nice.
With my husband and dog.
Yeah.
You know, I was feeling like maybe it was my dog's birthday instead of mine because he was having so much fun and he was pretty spoiled. I heard you just went on a trip as well.
Yeah, I went down to Key West. I had been down there one time with a group of guys, and so my wife Tammy wanted to go down there, and we had a great time. Key lime pie, a lot of seafood, a lot of sun. It is very small. It's amazing from the airport to the end of the island. It's a 2.5 mile ride.
Wow.
In an Uber. I mean, you can almost walk it. It's that short, not with luggage and everything. But it's we had a good time. The weather was fantastic,
great.
And the food was outstanding. I'm partial to our South Carolina beaches. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because they didn't have a beach down in Key West. That's the other amazing thing is there's just really no beaches there.
And, that's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's not a place to go to the beach. There's a lot of water sports down there, but unfortunately, my wife does not like water sports.
We didn't really do any water sports.
So anyway, it's a good time of the year. So
yeah.
But we have a great show lined up today. We've got two really interesting topics. Abby, I'll let you lead off with yours.
Yeah, so my topic today is going to be why annuities are often sold, not bought. Mm. So, you know, I feel like annuities have been coming up a lot lately, so I think it's just good to get some fundamental education on that.
Yeah, annuities are good in some situations, and you have to figure out what those are, but they are definitely sold, and they're complicated as well, so we'll dive into that in that segment. And then my segment's going to be talking about fighting unfair charges on your credit card specifically, or maybe your bank as well, and how to go about doing it. And some pretty interesting information on this, on how to approach this. So you're not put on a blacklist, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a good topic.
It's insightful.
And yeah, because we do see charges occasionally that come across. And so it's interesting how to handle charges that you're not familiar with showing up on your financial statement. So, well, by the way, my name is John Travis. I have an MBA in finance. I'm also a Dave Ramsey certified coach. I have over 32 years of experience in planning for both corporations and individuals.
And my name is Abby Gibson. I'm a financial advisor here at Richard Young Associates working towards my CFP.
Yeah, that's right. How's that going?
It's going.
Yeah.
It's going well.
It's a lot of material.
It's a lot of material, but it's very useful. Yeah. It's really fun to go through.
Fantastic that you're doing that. So we're certainly excited to have you listening to us today. We had the podcast up every Friday morning that you can check out on our website, moneymd.net. You can certainly download it on iTunes and listen to us at your convenience. Go to our website, moneymd.net. You know, link to us on there to ask questions. We also have a lot of material out there, budgets and some forms and tools that you can take a look at. And maybe some of those things will help you out. So we're going to start off here with the financial fact of the week.
Yes. So among AARP survey findings, 61% of Americans 50 and up are worried they won't have enough money for retirement, and only 21% of people have a retirement plan. So, you know, this is concerning. We know these are not numbers we like to see. With, you know, 80% of people without a retirement plan, that's something that we want to help out with. You know, so if you know anyone that's stressing about, you know, figuring out their retirement plan, how much they can afford per month, when they can retire, you know, we want to talk to them, so please have them reach out to us.
Yeah, it's complicated to do a retirement plan. You have inflation projections, pensions, Social Security. A lot of folks don't know how to put that all together into a, you know, a clear picture. And I will say that's one of the, I think one of the values we add to folks is being able to pull all those puzzle pieces together and presenting that in a way that's understandable. So yeah, that's 21%. That's a very low number.
Right.
It's unfortunate but yeah, if you need help or you have someone that you know that needs help, we're happy to sit down with them and do the planning for them on the front end.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the way we do it. So.
I think that one of the best parts about our job is just getting to see that relief on people's faces.
Yeah.
When we walk through those plans and they feel like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I know what I can afford and everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Yes. The peace.
It's great.
Peace of mind. So good financial fact of the week. And so the first article is talking about annuities. It's a topic that we do see frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been seeing a lot of annuities presented to us this year, so I thought this was a really good topic. This is taken from ABC News and with extra insight from annuity.org. So that's a great place to look at as well if you have questions. So if you have a lot of money or you suddenly receive a large sum through an inheritance or a divorce settlement, it's likely that someone's going to try to sell you an annuity. Annuities are complex financial products that provide a steady income stream for life, but they're often marketed aggressively and may not be suited for everyone. So, unlike other investments that people seek out, annuities are typically sold. So, in an annuity, you're going to give a significant lump sum of money to an insurance company, and in return, the company is going to promise to pay you a regular stream of income for the rest of your life. While this sounds appealing, especially for those who need a steady income during retirement, you know, annuities come with high costs and fees that we kind of want to walk through today.
Yeah, we've seen the same thing, Abby. We've had a couple of folks that have received money through a lawyer, and the lawyer is linked to an advisor that is providing annuities. So there's some, you got to be careful with annuities. And one of the main reasons annuities are aggressively sold is they have very high commissions on the front end. That's how the salespeople get paid. And there's different ways. It's always important to understand how the financial folks get paid and ask those questions. But these commissions can be anywhere from 6 to 8% or more of the total investment. So for an example, if you have a $500,000 that you put into an annuity, the salesperson could earn $40,000 in that one transaction.
That's crazy.
It really is. It's a big number. And the financial incentives really drive, you know, some financial representatives to target individuals who have recently come into money, like I mentioned with the lawyer.
Yep.
So sales targets a lot of times include women who have inherited money. Maybe they've received insurance payouts or gone through some type of divorce. And so wealthy clients who may not be well-versed in financial matters are also prime targets as well. So these clients are, you know, particularly vulnerable to sales pitches for annuities, and it may not be the best fit for their situation. It's got to work into all the puzzle pieces together, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
You know, I've seen several people who've come to us, you know, thinking they inherited an old annuity, and it turns out they were sold into a new annuity with a new surrender charge plan that takes several years to get out of. So it can be frustrating, but it's important to understand that not all financial advisors are required to act in your best interests. Many advisors who sell annuities only need to ensure that the product is suitable for you, which is a relatively low standard. True fiduciaries like ourselves, on the other hand, are legally obligated to put your interests first. However, fiduciaries may recommend annuities if they believe it's appropriate for you. There are circumstances where it can make sense. So, you know, sales pitches for annuities often create a sense of urgency, or maybe a sense of fear, making it seem like you need to make a quick decision, when in reality, there's no rush to buy an annuity, and acting quickly can often lead to poor financial decisions.
Yeah, and annuities come with a lot of cost and fees that can reduce the returns. That's what we see historically. And for instance, like we mentioned earlier, the commissions are, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8%. There's also an administrative fee of 0.3% annually, roughly. There's another type of expense. It's called a mortality expense, ranging from 0.5% to 1.5%. And then there's also surrender charges that start sometimes at 10%. We've seen them as high as 20% surrender charges over a 20-year time period.
I have not seen
that. Yeah, it's very long. So it locks you in for a very long time. So each annuity is a little bit different. The annuity company may keep a portion of your returns before crediting your interest. That's called an interest rate spread. There's also investment expense ratios that range from, you know, 0.5% up to a couple percent annually. You put riders on top of that. I mean, you can get into the 3 to 4 to even 5% cost range for that stream of income. And again, there have been some clients that I've worked with that annuities made sense for, but you just got to understand where it fits into the puzzle.
Right. And you know, those I typically steer clear probably of indexed and variable annuities, because that's when it starts getting a little more expensive and complicated. And I also see that this is the product they're going to typically push more because they make more from them. So indexed and variable annuities, which are the most expensive types, have additional limitations such as caps and participation rates. So while they promise not to lose money, which I hear all the time, and you know, I hear from these people who are fearful of losing money in retirement, you know, these are going to limit your potential earnings. So that's something to think about is, hey, you know, I'm not getting in the negative territory, but how much money am I foregoing every year that mm-hmm. I'm in this annuity because I'm not invested in the right assets, or they're withholding some of the returns? So while they promise not to lose money, you know, if your annuity is capped at 8% and the index makes 10%, you're only going to receive that 8% return. And, you know, they're going to receive that additional 2%. Moreover, if the participation rate is 50%, and the index gains 10%, you only get a 5% return. So these are both seen in indexed and variable annuities. So, you know, in conclusion, while annuities can provide a steady stream of income for life, they also come with a lot of hidden costs and fees. So if you're considering an annuity, it's really crucial to consult with a true fiduciary, such as ourselves, that can review the product and ensure it's the right choice for you. And this way, you know, you can avoid those unnecessary expenses and make an informed decision about your financial future.
Yeah, good topic. And I'll tell you, every annuity that we look at, we have to sit down and study it because mm-hmm. they're all different.
And they are.
So we're experienced at looking at financial statements, and it takes us some time to digest and understand these annuities. They're very complicated, and they do have very high cost. Again, they can be a piece of the picture for some folks, but you just got to understand what you're buying.
Exactly. Yeah. To. And if you do come into an inheritance that contains annuities, like I previously said, don't sign anything.
Yeah, right.
Meet with a fiduciary first and make sure that you're not getting into a new annuity with a new surrender timeline. So.
Yeah. Great discussion. So the next segment, question of the week, and it's when does a trust make sense for my estate plan? We get that question frequently. You know, the first line of defense in your estate planning is beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you have your beneficiaries structured. That's a great way to handle most
cases.
Yeah, most cases. And then the will also is the next line. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure you have your house and property and things distributed as well. The trust is really used to control the money. So if you have young kids, maybe a special needs mm-hmm. child, maybe you're concerned if they inherited $500,000 or $1 million that they would not spend it wisely, you can mm-hmm. put provisions in there saying you can only take out 5% per year, or at age 25, 35, and 45, we'll release certain percentages. So the trust is really a way to control the money. If you don't have any need to control the money, beneficiaries and a will are certainly acceptable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because there's expenses and ongoing expenses and, you know, attorney fees involved with a trust. They definitely make sense, you know, given the right situation. But,
sure.
You know, it doesn't make sense for some people. And I certainly would not think you need a trust just because of the cost of probate. You know, that's something that you can talk to us about. Depending on your state, it can be really cheap.
Yeah, out in South Carolina, $1 million estate is about $1,000. That's the cost.
Yeah.
And the trust is going to cost $5,000.
Right.
So while you'll save $1,000, you'll spend $5,000 to do that. So there are cases that it makes sense. And we have quite a few clients that do have trust that mm-hmm. makes sense. But yeah, if you have any questions, certainly reach out to us. We do have
Definitely.
Connections with some lawyers as well mm-hmm. that we can set you up with as well. So Good question of the week, and we're going to switch gears here and talk about fighting unfair charges and ways to win your credit card disputes. And one of the best reasons for making purchases that a lot of people, you know, reference with a credit card is that you get a built-in safety net. So if something goes wrong, you can dispute the bill and get your transaction reversed. And you might ask for a cancellation known as a chargeback to correct the double charge or maybe some type of billing error. Or maybe that product you bought online never showed up, or it turned out to be counterfeit. Mm-hmm. So maybe you never made a purchase in the first place. So there's different reasons for getting these charges on there, and there's a right way to handle them.
For sure. Yeah. You know, subscriptions are one of the fastest growing chargeback categories, according to Ranjita Iyer, Senior Vice President, Cyber and Intelligence at MasterCard. You know, consumers have so many subscriptions these days that, you know, you might forget that you signed up for it, or maybe you have trouble canceling them. You know, for example, Planet Fitness. You know, I have a Planet Fitness membership, love Planet Fitness, but a lot of times they say, oh, you have to go to the original place, you know, to cancel. And it's like, well, if I moved, you know, that's an instance where sometimes people are going to try to cancel it off their credit card. Yeah. So chargebacks, which are on the rise, can be tricky because an increasing number of consumers are filing fraudulent disputes. So many merchants are trying to put the brakes on these cancellations. So it's really important to play by the rules, or you might get turned down.
Yeah, what's worse, even if you win, you could end up losing. I mean, consumers who have successfully disputed charges have in some cases been banned by Uber and other merchants. And that's according to Elliott Report, consumer advocacy site. Companies may limit chargebacks to one per customer and maintain merchant deny list that are shared with other sellers. So, you know, here are six do's and don'ts to win credit card disputes and minimize hassles.
Yes. So the first one is don't delay. You might have just 60 days from the time you receive your credit card bill to dispute a charge. So you need to keep a close eye on your statements and check carefully for suspicious transactions. You know, signing up for purchase alerts can help as well. My grandmother had this issue where somebody charged some Xbox, you know, credit card, gift cards to hers. So we had to dispute that. So it's definitely important to keep an eye out because this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to not leapfrog the merchant. So unless it's outright fraud, card issuers, they really expect you to try to work with the seller first. And vendors have an incentive to resolve these disputes by offering maybe a refund or exchange or maybe a repair, since chargebacks can be very expensive. And dealing directly with the merchants is often the quickest way to get satisfaction, and you can help you avoid trouble later on. Merchants who lose chargeback disputes may file lawsuits or use collection agencies to recover the funds. And that's, again, according to the Elliott Report.
Mm-hmm. So the third item is do be patient. So it might take up to 90 days or 2 billing cycles to get the problem resolved. This is definitely something that will take time to get that money back. So in the meantime, you know, you have the right to withhold payment of the disputed amount according to the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah, and also double check. If you don't recognize a charge, take time to review the details. Check your calendar to see where you were that day. Maybe call the toll-free number that's listed with the charge, or do an internet search. Mm-hmm. So when I've reviewed my transactions, I'll see things. I'm like, this does not look familiar. Don't recognize the name. What the heck is this? I'll ask Tammy. I'm like, where were we on this date?
Right.
You know, well, we were in Key West. So no, we didn't buy anything, you know, in wherever, Sarasota. So just making sure you're doing some research. And the author of this, Lisa Lee Freeman, was saying she was she was reviewing her statement, and she had a charge from TWP SUB. And it was the Washington Post subscription. So a lot of times these charges come over with something that doesn't make sense and you don't recognize them. So, you know, when you dispute a charge that turns out to be legitimate, it's called friendly fraud. And too many false alarms could result in your credit card being terminated, says MasterCard's IR. So be careful on these charges.
Yeah, I've seen some crazy charges, especially with gas stations. For some reason, they'll have really weird names on your credit card bill, and you kind of just copying and pasting that you know, that name into Google usually does
yes,
the trick.
Right.
So, so another item is do call your card issuer ASAP if you suspect fraud. So also call if the merchant is unresponsive. So you can check your credit card's website or app for details and to initiate the process. So Visa, MasterCard, and American Express advertise zero liability policies that promise you won't be responsible for charges you did not authorize.
Yeah, that's a good one. And the last one here is don't lose track of paperwork. Keep receipts, contracts, emails, invoices, online chat transcripts, other documentation that can help you back up your claim. So when you do have a claim, you have to upload a lot of these documents to the vendor so they can go and do research themselves and you know, include these backup documents in a letter to the card issuer and read the merchant contracts, you know, because some of the language in there may have some nuances in there. So I found it interesting, though, if you do this enough, friendly fraud and it doesn't turn out to be legit, then the credit card company could drop you or you show up on a list.
Yeah. That's crazy. But I can totally, you know, I can totally see the amount of fraud, you know, of people trying to get money back for legitimate purchases.
Sure.
You know, I had a friend who was in claims processing and, you know, this the type of stuff she sees. Some people, it's their full-time job trying to just take advantage of the the system on these types of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of fraud out there everywhere. So anyway, good topic. We're going to close out the show here with the prescription of the week, and that's my topic. I'll be on Facebook this week talking about PERS-TERPES, and PERS-TERPES is a beneficiary designation. And basically what it does is it keeps it in the family line. So if you had three kids and one of the children passed away, it would go to their kids. So PERS-TERPES is a Latin term. There's also per capita, which is a little bit more confusing. It basically goes down to the, if you think about kids and then grandkids, it goes down to the grandkid level and disperses it based on the number of grandkids versus the number of kids in their line. So it's a little confusing. PERS-TERPES is what most folks check, and they want to keep it within the family tree. So if you have three kids and one passes away, then the one that passed away, that third will go to their kids and that'll be dispersed amongst those kids. So again, as we talked about with trust, beneficiaries are so important. And we see issues with beneficiaries not being updated. Some people don't have beneficiaries and then it goes to the estate. So make sure if you're listening to this, if you haven't done an estate plan recently, certainly you can reach out to us. We'll help you review that. We also have connections with lawyers as well, but this PERS-TERPES falls right into that conversation, making sure you have your beneficiaries up to date.
Yep, that's a good one.
Very good. Well, this has been this week's edition of Money MD. Tune in next week on moneymd.net to hear more prescriptions for your financial health. Check out our website, moneymd.net. Send us your questions or give us a call here at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great weekend.
Material in this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in this broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates, a registered investment advisor.